Hey, what is up? This is the Leafs Convo podcast for Oak Ridge Ford in London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. I'm Norm, along with Mike. Thanks to everyone who supports the pod. Here we go on a live basis from here on out, and we appreciate you being with us. Mr. A, the Maple Leafs 8-1-1 in their past 10. Pretty spectacular. About a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, this team was kind of right there, not at the top. Now the number one team in the league. Once again, fueled by Austin Matthews in this resurgence. He's on fire, but secured by a number one goaltender none of us thought would come to be. Jack Campbell wins in 10 consecutive starts. Bravo to him. Bravo to the Maple Leafs. Bravo to you for being here.
Hey, Norm. Well, to start with Matthews, it's not a coincidence that his wrist struggles, his injury struggles, coincided with them losing 6 of 7 games. They had to move him around on the power play. He would be the trigger guy. He was in front of the net. You know, he wasn't taking faceoffs at times, and they lose 6 of 7, and everybody's like, what's going on? I think it was not just simply him. I think it was also Frederick Anderson was playing hurt, and there were other factors. But I think the fact that Matthews wasn't able to, you know, trigger that fantastic wrist shot was a contributing factor to them losing. He's healthy, and now he's scoring in great big bunches. Mm-hmm. And you know, with regularity, like every game, you can depend on at least one, maybe two goals from Austin Matthews. That is something, you know, you can't ignore. And if you're talking about MVP candidates, I know they say McDavid and he's having a fantastic year, and they say Nathan MacKinnon. I think that Matthews is up there simply because you've seen what it is when he's not on and what it is when he is on. So, and right now he is on. He's carrying this team. They're getting offense from other people. I mean, Tavares is having a good streak. You know, Marner is always present when it comes to contributing offense. But right now, it's Austin Matthews. And as for Jack Campbell, I mean, anybody who watched the interview that he had after the game with Sean McKenzie, if you don't feel for Jack Campbell and you're not happy for Jack Campbell, I mean, people on the other team are happy for Jack Campbell. That's how nice of a guy he is. And it's, you know, it's fantastic. And it's a nice problem to have if Frederick Anderson comes back at 100% and you have Jack Campbell or Frederick Anderson as an option going into the playoffs. But we'll probably have to find out. We'll probably find out in the next couple days whether that's possible, because I still don't know for sure whether we're going to see Frederick Anderson back. And if we don't, then I think Kyle Dubas is going to have to, before the trade deadline, go out and find himself another goaltender.
Jack Campbell can be the number one. He's got the skill to be. Does he have the health ultimately to be not only the number one, but the goaltender who backstops this team into the playoffs, past the first round and beyond? Time will tell. So he's the de facto number one. Let's make no mistake about it. Freddie Anderson, he's back and mentally ready to go. He'll have to wait for his turn and then execute properly when he gets that chance. As you said, it's a good problem to have. So let's all get on the Jack Campbell train. This isn't a guy who is playing above his capability. So maybe this is the story none of us expected to unfold, but this is the story that can allow us to imagine bigger and better things, because a guy like Campbell, who's so beloved, who has the skill, is putting this streak together. And if he can escape the demons of injury, this team's in terrific shape. And Austin Matthews, 28 goals, leads the NHL. I think he's got 48 points now in 38 games. Marner's at 48 in 40. It's a wonderful thing. And the thing about Matthews, he's putting the biscuit in the basket, producing points, but he's playing a 200-foot game like we haven't seen him play before. And that's extremely important, not only for his contributions to the team, but how he evolves as a player. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Well, I mean, if you need an illustration of what you just said, look at what happened on the game-winning goal. He came down low below the goal line, and helped out the defense win the puck battle, and then broke out, made a nice move on Tyler Toffoli, right near in front of the net, and went the other way on a 3-on-2 break, which led to Zach Hyman's game winner. I mean, that's, you know, so Matthews not only scored one goal, he set up the game-winning goal with that play. He has been much more attuned defensively this mm-hmm. year, and Marner has as well. I mean, a lot of people complain about Marner's ability defensively because he's not a physical guy, but he blocks shots, he kills penalties, he's positionally really sound and smart, and that's a contrast to some other players on the team. So, I mean, they're getting great two-way play out of their top players.
Mm-hmm. Most of the people who dislike Marner are the ones who fantasize about William Nylander. They need a yin to the yang, and Marner's an integral ingredient to this mix. And losing a guy like that would be not catastrophic for the team, but really disrupt its ability. And just ask the guy we've been lauding and fawning over, Austin Matthews, what Mitch Marner not only means to the team, but to his success. Mm-hmm. And he'll certainly tell you. This is the Leafs Combo for Oak Ridge Ford, London, Ontario, oakridgeford.com. Oak Ridge Ford helps to pay some of the bills for us, and that's amazing. So I should mention that 2021 Ford Escape has 0% financing through 72 months. People come into the dealership and go, how much money can you give me off the car? I want a discount on that. Well, sure, I'll give you $10,000 off the car and charge you 11%. How about that? How about a little bit of money off the car and 0%? It's always nice to pay the principal plus tax over a certain period of time and no interest. So you can get at me about that, especially the Escapes right now. Just a really nice car, and it's a second year of the new design. Mr. Augello, the Leafs are an elite team, but how can they be eliter? Get the power play going, and I don't care how many goals they haven't allowed. That power play needs to click, especially when the playoffs come around. But two, add another piece to act as a cherry on top, or effectively improve the periphery of this group that does seem to have a lot of the components to be a champion. We saw the Islanders pick up Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac for a first round pick. A lot of people going on about how, Lou was Lou again. And, we can have that discussion about Lou Lamoriello and his legacy and his time in Toronto at another point. Do the Leafs look at that and go, geez, they did it. Now we need to do something too. Or do they think, look, this is all about the Maple Leafs and progressing the way we need to. We don't have to keep up with the Joneses, but ultimately we should probably do something before the deadline, and it's approaching quick.
Well, Kyle Dubas apparently was in on Palmieri, according to Pierre LeBrun. So that was the type of move that they're looking for. Now, obviously, I think Tom Fitzgerald chose the deal with the Islanders, maybe in part because he could get more out of. By trading Travis Zajac, clearing his salary, get a first-round pick mm-hmm. by adding him into the deal. Palmieri was probably the second most sought-after rental guy next to Taylor Hall in this class. But the Leafs clearly are still looking for that top nine, top six winger. I mean, Dubas did an interview with LeBrun a couple days ago and said that, in spite of the addition of Alex Galchenyuk, and he's played well, and we're not taking anything away from him, but we still want to improve the depth of the team. And you can see that illustrated again yesterday with William Nylander being put into COVID protocol. They had to move Ilya Mikheyev up to the second line with Galchenyuk and Tavares, and that line really didn't generate a lot. So I think what they're looking at going forward towards the playoffs is a forward group that is really good, but has a few players, Simmons, Thornton, Spezza, a little long in the tooth, who need to have minutes managed. And if you have an injury, or an absence like Nylander, that means moving up somebody like Kerfoot or Engvall or Simmons or in like yesterday's case, Ilya Mikheyev. And as much as I love the way Ilya Mikheyev plays, he can't finish. He's just does not have scoring touch. So that is one thing that, you know, Dubas apparently is intent on adding before the deadline. But my question is, and this all stems from what's going to happen with the goaltending and Freddie Anderson. If Freddie Anderson can't play, if they can't determine that he's going to come back, and they're saying everything right. You know, Keefe says he's very confident he'll be back, and Dubas is saying we're getting updates and things are progressing, but there's no hard evidence. They're not giving us any kind of accurate determination of what's going on with Anderson. So if that's in limbo, then they may put him on long-term injury, mm-hmm. and they might go out and get themselves a goaltender. That's still a distinct possibility.
So a goaltender and another piece to the puzzle, or just the goaltender?
They can only do that if they put Anderson on long-term injury. Mm. That opens up $5 million in cap space. Similar to what happened with Montreal a couple days ago. Brendan Gallagher breaks his thumb. He's out 6 weeks. They now have the cap space to be able to make a move. They may not make a move, but they have the cap space to do it. With Anderson right now, like, they can make a move. They can make one move, the Leafs, if Anderson is not put on long-term injury. If he is, then they can make a couple moves. They could add a goalie. They might be able to add a cheap defenseman. They could add a forward. If Anderson is going to be back, then they're limited to one move.
Mm-hmm. Just going through some of the comments. Caudis, one of the OGs. You guys do a great job. Always go my go-to Leaf site. Thank you very much. Caleb Merkstrom. Good morning, gents. Will 85. No Philly talk. What about Nylander? What else do we have here? Buds fan. Do you think Anderson is done for the year? Is he? Could he?
And I mean, the problem is, and this has been pointed out. Chris Johnston pointed this out on the 31 Thoughts podcast earlier this week. The Leafs, and I attested this because I'm on all the media calls. The Leafs have been very specific when it came to injuries all year. Wayne Simmons, he's got a broken wrist. He's out 6 weeks. Joe Thornton, he's got a broken rib. He's out at least 4 weeks. All that type of thing. With Anderson, it's day to day. He's been out for 3 weeks. He's been examined by the doctors. He's progressing. No specifics. So it's something, you know, somebody speculated it's some sort of soft tissue injury, groin or hamstring or whatever. I mean, I know it's not an exact science, but I think Kyle Dubas is going to basically have to say to his medical staff, okay, I need to know whether this guy can be back. And if he can't be back, I got to protect myself against him not being back. So that's where it stands right now.
LS, Marner is overpaid, hard stop, whatever that means. End of story, nothing to do with Nylander. My point is, people who like Nylander, especially on social media, typically dislike Marner. So we focus on Marner's shortcomings, and it's vice versa too. Marner's not overpaid when he's a point per game guy. And he's putting up 5 points in a game and setting up, you know, the beloved Austin Matthews. When he's making mistakes, he's overpaid. Guys, they're not rescinding his contract, and you're not just going to trade him because you think it's just economically irresponsible for the Maple Leafs. He's a key piece to the team, and 30 teams would love to have him. It's an optical thing. It's a PR thing. You know, Nylander's not perfect. None of these guys are. Sure, he could be overpaid, but too effing bad. It's just, I mean, it's the way it is. It's not your money. So he's putting up points.
He's okay. He is a top five scorer in the league. Look at the salaries of the top five scorers. The only one who's not making over $10 million is Leon Draisaitl. I mean, MacKinnon is on that ridiculous contract that he signed after a bad year, and he's making, I think, in the sixes. But Matthews, 11.6. McDavid, 12.5. Marner, 10.8. If you have a player in the top five of the league, you're paying him that much. And he's a top five player right now.
Yeah, it is what it is. Caleb Merkstrom, do you guys see the Leafs making a run at Josh Manson?
No. No, because okay,
they have a better chance of acquiring Charles.
Charles Manson. Yes,
I had that.
I was waiting. If you didn't do it, I was gonna pencil in. No, never mind. Okay, so Josh Manson. They've been linked to Josh Manson for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Manson has another year in his contract, a little over $4 million. The problem here is, and don't get me wrong, Josh Manson would be a fine addition to the Leafs defense. The problem is right now is that they would probably lose him or a Justin Hall in the expansion draft. They can only protect three defensemen, or if they go eight skaters, they can protect four or more. You're going to protect Tavares. You have to protect Tavares. You're going to protect Matthews and Marner and Nylander. So that's four. I don't think they're going to trade for another defenseman that they have to protect. I think if they're going to trade for a defenseman, like Elliot Friedman reported a couple days ago, a guy by the name of Jamie Oleksiak, who played for Dallas last year in the Stanley Cup final, big body presence, tough defenseman, big rangy guy, making about $2 million. That would make a lot of sense for the Leafs because they wouldn't have to protect him, and he would improve their blue line in terms of depth. I mean, I've said it the last four convos. The disaster scenario for this team is one of their defensemen getting hurt and Sheldon Keefe falling back on his comfort zone and saying, oh, Marty Marinson can do it. No, he can't. He's friggin' terrible. He can't. He costs you games in the playoffs. So I would rather play an inexperienced Rasmus Sandin than Marty Marinson, and I sure as hell would rather play Jamie Oleksiak than either one of them because Sandin is inexperienced right now.
Sounds to me like the Leafs need to explore the idea of a backup to Jack Campbell.
Yes.
And acquiring another defenseman, and that's it. Offensively, this team doesn't need too much help at all. Like, again, we could – you know, guys like Simmons and Thornton with managed minutes, which is another good name for a podcast, managed minutes with Mike and Norm. We have to manage our minutes. Those guys, you know, the offensive guys are capable. It's the defense that, you know, goes through that process of attrition in the playoffs, especially if you're going deep. So having depth there, adding to a really nice defensive group right now is probably what the Leafs should be doing. Never mind going out and adding another top six forward. And then with the goaltending situation, I suppose you can't be too cautious about it.
Well, I mean, again, looking at what's happened in the last few games, you saw against Calgary, and Calgary really doesn't have anything to play for anymore because I think they're realizing they're out of the playoff race. But TJ Brody gets run at by Milan Lucic in the first period of the game, the second game of that series, the back-to-back on Monday. It takes a couple periods, but Wayne Simmons responds by cartwheeling Lucic against the boards. If you don't think that that's the kind of treatment that players like Shea Weber or Corey Perry or Josh Anderson for Montreal, or any of the tough guys, big guys on Winnipeg like Lowry or Andrew Kopp or Shifley on Winnipeg. If you don't think that that's what they're going to do or try to do to Riley and Matthews and the core group of the Leafs, then you've got another thing coming. And the only way you stop that, I'm not saying you go out and get a goon, but you go out and get a player who will do what Simmons did. And it can't just be one guy. Right now, in terms of pushback in the playoffs, the Leafs have three players, maybe four. Bogosian, Muzzin, Simmons, and maybe Zach Hyman. And after that, you know, they're players. And there's nothing wrong with this because skill players, you know, that's their job. There's nothing wrong with turning the other cheek, but the other team will continue to beat you into the ice if you continue to do that. And you have to push back. And that's the type of player that you need.
Steven Sakura, for $11 million, he expects way more. Like what? Like
well,
what?
I mean,
6'5"?
Are you asking about Tavares or are you asking about Marner? Because I've heard just as much criticism about Tavares as I have about Marner. And you know what? Honestly, Leaf fans, think of this. If you continue to criticize John Tavares, he'll be the last big-name free agent who will ever come to Toronto. He came back home. He got paid. He's playing pretty damn good hockey. He's been very good the last couple weeks. I don't get it. It's the, I mean, the guy who I think of the core group, the guy who has been the one who's been the most inconsistent and the worst bang for the buck.
Tavares.
No, it's been William Nylander, but this is the thing. And I'm not saying William Nylander is not a good player, because he is a good player. But if you're talking about consistency, game in, game out, Nylander is the worst of the four.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. This is not an anti-Nylander show. Like, again, I know we have a bit of a rap for that. That's bullshit. Anybody with brain understands where we've come from and how much we talk about hockey know that we're not anti-Nylander. We are pro Leafs, right? In this circumstance, you pack your team with the best players you can get. They may have had better seasons elsewhere, mm-hmm. because you understand that every one of these players is a declining asset at some point. If you can bring them together as an amalgamation of talent who have done great things throughout their careers and who can collectively get the job done wearing the blue and white and earn this organization and fan base a Stanley Cup, that's all that matters. That's it. So guys like Tavares, he's not the focal point anymore. So he's not going to put up 100 points. It's a Matthews show. Everybody else is contributing to what Matthews is about. Again, everybody's overpaid, everyone. And if they're perfectly paid, good for them. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. It's good fodder on Twitter. Who cares? No one cares. These guys just want to win. You guys can talk about who gets this and who gets that and how does his salary equate to what he's putting out. That's good discussion. But if that guy doesn't lend his expertise and his ability to a championship team, it doesn't matter. The whole point here is to bring a collection of guys who have had great success elsewhere and who might not have that same statistical success this time to contribute to the greater good. And that's win a Stanley Cup for the Maple Leafs. That's what it's about. This, he's not worth it. That's bullshit. Seriously, enough of this.
Sorry,
Mike.
I talk about
Nylander and his situation. I love the OGs and Converse for being here, but who cares, man? Marner is not going to pack his stuff and go and work at the coal mine. He's going to play and make the money that he got, and he's contributing a point per game. It'll never be good enough for everybody, but I'll tell you what. If this team wins a Stanley Cup, that's it. That's all that matters.
And if William Nylander scores the game-winning goal in overtime of Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, do you think anybody is going to complain about Nylander? Nobody is.
We love Nylander. We love him. Willie Stein's the greatest. We love him. We love him.
Statues.
I want him to be better. I hope he doesn't have COVID. I hope there's no issue. The guy's fantastic. I want him, Marner, Tavares, Simmons, Thornton, Dan Daou, Bill Derlego, Callie Johansson. You name Jason every Blake, league of all time. Is. Come together and win a Stanley Cup. This team can do it. This team can do it. We can talk about the other stuff ad nauseum, and you can call us idiots. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We just want this team to win a Stanley Cup. A couple of other things. William Nylander. What is his situation now? Is he just kind of quarantining? They're keeping an eye on this guy because they need him. They need him to go on any kind of run.
I'm not sure if we're going to find out anything today, because today is the Leafs' day off. They give the team a day off after the – you know, they were on the road for four games. They came back right away and played the Habs last night. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know whether there'll be an update in terms of his status, but he apparently had contact outside of the team with somebody who may be positive. And for safety's sake, they basically told him, mm-hmm. Sequester in place. Don't have any. Now, the thing was, he was at the morning skate, so there was contact there. So hopefully there wasn't any, hopefully there was not any close contact where it could spread like it spread with the Canucks, you know, God forbid. But
we don't even know if William Nylander has.
Yeah, this is all precautionary. They don't even know if the person he had contact with is positive. So they're being very safe. They're saying, okay, we're going to test him. We're going to test the person. I'm assuming that person is being tested as well. And we're going to test the team like we normally test them. And hopefully there is no future positives. There is, then we've seen what's going on in Ontario right now, how everything is being locked down again. You know, it's really, I mean, with the new variants out there, I mean, honestly, the Vancouver Canucks, I don't think they're going to be able to make up the games that they're missing. They're going to be missing 7 or 8 games. I don't know how they, I mean, I've heard talk that they may extend the regular season by a week for just the North Division. And while the other three divisions are playing the first round of the playoffs, the North Division will be finishing up the regular season, have their season delayed a week and start like say late May instead of mid May. Mm-hmm. And I think that's asinine simply because they're going to be exhausting themselves to play games that might be meaningless and then go into a playoffs right away. I think that the games for Vancouver, since they're a non-playoff team, they should be forfeited and the team should get the 2 points that they're playing against. I mean, not anything against them, but honestly, it's like, I mean, you have to finish the season. And right now, the NHL is hell-bent on playing 56 games and everybody doing that. But, you know, maybe they're not capable of doing it if a team is going to be out for 2 weeks because of COVID.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. It's just – these are crazy times, right? Like, we're on lockdown here, and it's super stringent. It's reminiscent or reminds you of – you know, those early days of the lockdown, nobody had any clue. We figured that we would be out of it by now. And it's a tough one. And then you look at whatever they're calling the baseball park in Arlington or Texas, Dallas, well, whatever. The place is packed and everywhere down there, Cavalier.
That was,
you know,
one
six
game.
Gun justice with Stetsons and, you know, that, flinging that, around their AR-15s
that
and stuff.
One game for the opener, and now they're back down to 20%. They wanted the full stadium for which I don't, you know, okay. It was the opener of the stadium, and they wanted the full crowd. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you couldn't pay me enough to go there.
Well, I wouldn't go there in general. For other reasons besides, you know, being irresponsible. But it's just weird, right? It's getting territorial, and there's, it's not that people believe COVID's a hoax. It's just they're just getting sick and tired of it. They don't want to deal with it anymore. BC's had a lot of, really been hit hard, and there's a reason why the Canucks aren't playing, right? Ontario's going through some struggles too.
And I keep hearing stories about a million vaccines and freezers in Ontario, and they're not being distributed. I mean, it's like right now people are sick and tired of this, but right now it's like, honestly, it's like, you know, in the U.S. the vaccine is being distributed. I got my first shot a couple weeks ago. I'm getting my second shot next week. You know, I'm looking forward to the end of April when I have a 95% protected situation. Mm-hmm. Because of the vaccine, you know, I want to enjoy my summer and I want people to be safe and healthy, but a lot of people are just sick of what's going on right now. But I don't want it to derail this great season. God forbid if somebody is infected, then, you know, all the things we're talking about, Jack Campbell, Austin Matthews, everything, it's going to be derailed completely because if this team has a mass infection, then they're going to be shut down too.
Exactly. Right. Do you want to talk about Lou Lamoriello at all?
Well, I'll just touch on this because we were talking about this back and forth, and there's been some criticism of Lou when it comes to Toronto, and I think it's tied to the Patrick Marleau contract, some of the trades that he made. I mean, Lou did a lot of good. What the best things that he did was get players under contracts that right now the Leafs are benefiting from, namely the Morgan Rielly deal. Getting Morgan Rielly for $5 million a year was a pretty damn good deal. The Nazem Kadri contract was pretty good as well. They traded that, but they got value. They got some value back for it. Obviously, a lot of people are critical of what Dubas got for Kadri. But the problems, I think, with Lamoriello is that he – surrendered to the whims of Mike Babcock more than I think people thought he was going to. Mm-hmm. He was brought in as a check on Babcock's power. He, you know, Babcock wanted Marleau because Marleau was on the Olympic team. They signed Marleau. They overpaid Marleau. They gave him an extra year. Babcock wanted a fourth line center 2 years in a row, and they wasted a second round pick on Thomas Mekanets and on Brian Boyle. Babcock refused to play a guy like Frankie Corrado because why? Because because Lamoriello picked him up off of waivers and Babcock without Babcock say so, and then just refused to bizarre. Play. So I mean,
since when does Lou capitulate to a head coach? I mean, obviously it happened, and maybe for Lou's own sake, ridding himself of anything to do with the Maple Leafs organization was a good way for him to get back to the real Lou, and obviously going back to where his geographical roots too. So yeah, I mean Babcock, it's kind of a sad story. Here's a guy who came to help, bring a shitty team back to glory, and his name and his brand helped establish the Leafs as not a bunch of idiots anymore. And then it just all went pear-shaped. Mike, I just wanted to bring up Dyslexic here. I don't know about his comment, but he's a big contributor to the podcast, has been for quite some time. Dyslexic, thank you very much. The only thing people should be fearing are their tyrannical governments. I don't want to go down that road, but a lot of people are exasperated.
Yes.
By what's going on. And I know that the Devils fans are exasperated by what Lou just
somebody else in the chat has brought up another thing, the 7-year contract to Nikita Zaitsev. That was another thing.
Yeah.
And the failure in his last year to get Nylander signed to an extension. He would not give Nylander a contract extension with a year left when he had the ability to sign him to an extension. Nylander puts up a big year and then puts Dubas in the position of that, you know, there was a holdout and then I think he overpaid him and capitulated to his agent. And if Lou had been proactive, which normally he is, to get him on a more friendly contract, then you probably, the domino effect wouldn't have been there for Matthews, for Marner to be paid as much. Maybe they would have been because they signed Tavares, but I just think there could have been, but Lou overall did a pretty good job. I can't complain about it, but there are some people who complain about his tenure in Toronto.
Do you think he felt more stress running the Maple Leafs than he did the Devils? I mean, it was a shorter period of time. Do you think he felt like he had to expedite
a
return to greatness?
I think he had to deal more with a bureaucracy in Toronto that he was the man in New Jersey. He ran everything. He was the president. He in Toronto, he worked well with Brendan Shanahan, but Brendan Shanahan was his boss, and Brendan Shanahan had to answer to the MLS board. So, he didn't have the complete autonomy that he did in New Jersey.
That's super cool. We have like 50 OGs and converts in the chat right now through StreamYard. I think this is Nylander's final season with the Leafs. They will get his salary to two players in the offseason. That's Tony Bozzelli.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of anti-Nylander stuff in the chat. Like, again, you can forensically look through everything we've talked about forever. We've never been anti-anybody. It's just the way people perceive things. Mike, how old are you together? Our combined age is well over a century. We're not boomers, we're Gen Xers. I just care about the brand. I want the team to win, and that's all I care about. So any kind of accusation that we are for pro or anti, that's just bullshit. At the end of the day, I could care less if somebody disagrees with that. We can talk hockey all day. This is our project, the Leafs Combo. We've been going forever. Whether you with us or against us, you subscribe, unsubscribe, and a lot of people hold that over my head. Guys, I don't care. I don't care. Mike and I will be here to collab. We want the OGs and converts to be a part of it. But threatening unsubscriptions, I could give a fuck. The whole point of this is to have fun, to talk, and do our thing. At the end of the day, if that's too much for you, too bad. I'm so sorry. If you want to be a part of what we're doing right now, come and I'll love you forever. But to threaten us because you talk bad about Nylander. So what? We don't. Go ahead and unsubscribe. I don't care, man. I don't.
It's valid. It's valid criticism, and we're not being personal. But here's the pure dollars and cents of the reality of things. Right now, the Leafs' most important offseason situation is Zach Hyman. Zach Hyman's making $2.25 million. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a raise.
He's apparently he's a fourth liner at best.
Yeah, he's gonna at least double his salary. He's gonna at least make in the mid fours. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's 2.25 at least, probably closer to 4.75 a year, the way he's playing and how important he is. So you're gonna have to double his salary. You're gonna have to sign if you're signing Freddie Anderson or you're going to sign another goaltender to back up or be a 1B with Jack Campbell, mm-hmm. you're gonna have to spend money on a goaltender, and you're a year away from Morgan Rielly being an unrestricted
free.
So how are you paying for this? You can't pay for it all by trading Alex Kerfoot, because that's $3.5 million.
But Mike, can I just say something? They weren't foregoing an opportunity to retain Marner to sign the biggest free agent in the history of the organization, just so that they could have money set aside for guys like Rielly and for Hyman.
Right. The reality is that Kyle Dubas a lot of general managers around the league were depending on the salary cap to expand. And they figured, okay, we can keep our core group. And since the cap will be $90 million, we can spend the extra money on re-signing Hyman and re-signing Rielly. The problem is that the reality of the pandemic is that if the cap's going to be 81.5 for probably the next 2 to 3 years, and the Leafs are going to have to make hard decisions. And the hard decision, I think, is going to be trading William Nylander.
Okay, dyslexic. Who would you pay, Hyman or Rielly?
I'm paying both.
That's a tough one, man.
I don't think that's the choice that the Leafs can make, because they need both of them. Hyman is integral to being either a top six or top nine forward, and he's the motor and the defensive conscience mm-hmm. of this team. And Rielly is the number one defenseman.
Yeah.
You have to pay both of them. You know, now Hyman, you might be able to get him to stay by giving him a long-term deal and paying him up front like they've done with Muzzin and a few other players. But Rielly is good. Rielly's going to make probably $8 million a year.
We're deviating from the
focus.
The essence of this podcast and what we were talking about 20 minutes ago, in that at some point you have to go for broke. This is the case now. That situation, they can deal with it. If they lost Hyman and Rielly together because they don't have any money, but they won a Stanley Cup this season, for me, I'm sorry, selfishly as a fan, mm-hmm. that's what I want. Win me a cup. I don't care if it's an abbreviated season, and right. Habs fans and Sens fans and fans of other teams make fun of the Leaf fans for generations because this was the season with an asterisk. I could care less. Go win me a Stanley Cup. I want to see a parade. Oh, well, can you even parade? I want to see something on Bay.
Well,
if that's the case, Hyman, Rielly, all these dudes be damned. Win me now, and then we'll deal with that crap later. Because apparently they've got brainiacs and guys who are getting paid a lot of money who are can figure this stuff out. Let's start wrapping it up here, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I'll just finish it off with this. That decision is not something that's going to be made in the next 5 days. Rielly is a decision a year down the road. Hyman is a decision this summer. And what they do to make the room to sign those guys or decide not to sign those guys is in the future. The next 5 days is what can you add to this team to make them more capable of winning a Stanley Cup? And I believe they need at least a depth defenseman, and they need a forward who can play in the top nine. Can they do both? Yeah,
forward depth defenseman and a goaltender.
Right. Now, the thing is that if you're talking about the goaltender, the only way that they can make that move is probably by putting Frederick Anderson on LTIR. If they're going for a cheap goaltender, I suggested in a blog yesterday, maybe they go out and reacquire Aaron Dell. But is Aaron Dell much better than Michael Hutchinson? He's better, but he's not so much better that I would trust Aaron Dell in a playoff scenario.
Sean Robertson, howdy, boys. What's up, Sean? Batman 277, zero problem with Marner. Freddie is our problem. Welcome to the discussion, guys. I love it. That's the thing. Jack Campbell, he's good enough to be the guy to win a cup. Will he make it there? And if he doesn't, is it Aaron Dell or Michael Hutchinson filling in for him? And if that's the case, everything else that we're talking about is moot. Because your entire process to get to this point relies on a goaltender who really shouldn't be there. playing all world and above their head. We've seen stories like that unfold and things like that happen. But man, that's the conundrum right now. Because if Freddie is available, he's a number one goaltender too. And if he's healthy and just has to watch Jack Campbell play, I'd take that over moving him off the roster to make room.
That's one thing. There's stuff out there that, you know, they're going to trade. They're not going to trade Frederik Andersen for one simple reason. No team is going to trade for an injured goaltender. Mm-hmm. So they're not trading Frederik Andersen. It's either he's going to be healthy and he plays, or he's going on LTIR. That's it. They will not. You want to alienate your core group. Trade a guy who's been their best buddy for 4 years. They're not doing it. If Andersen is not available, he goes on LTIR. And if he is healthy when the playoffs come around, if they go out and pick up Linus Allmark or David Rittich, Frederik Andersen will be the number one. But all a question of whether he is healthy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We know the team's 8-1-1. Jack Campbell's just broke a record for 10 consecutive wins, and that's an all-time high for a Leafs goaltender, eclipsing Dakot, who won 9 straight starts. Things are great, but the whole point of things being great right now is for this group to achieve greatness. Mm-hmm. Not down the line when Nick Robertson's ready.
Right now,
or Rasmus Sandin is ready, or when Mitch Marner has been traded away to Magnitogorsk, finally. No, now. So the conversations surrounds ways to improve this team and take it from great to one that can achieve greatness. And there are still lingering issues. We're up against the clock with the trade deadline. Kyle Dubas, it's time, baby. Got time to make some big decisions. If I had my way, Mike, this team goes and gets another defenseman. Freddie Andersen is, I mean, whatever defenseman you're going to get, you're not bringing in a Norris Trophy winner. You're bringing somebody into who's tough and who's going to be there to help backstop.
Veteran depth.
Help complement that defensive group. And Freddie Andersen is healthy and watches Jack Campbell go on a run until he gets his opportunity. I don't know if that's going to be the case. If I could wish for something to happen, that would be it. Final point to you.
Yeah, veteran depth on the blue line and a forward who I think can provide some sandpaper, maybe a little extra scoring. That may be what Kyle Dubas does before 3 p.m. on Monday, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, OG's Converse, thank you so much for being here. It's a lively discussion this afternoon, but these are lively times for the organization and for the Leafs convo. Like this post. If you didn't like what I said earlier, dislike it too. I encourage you. But if you keep coming back to watch us and listen, hit the subscription button. That helps us with YouTube's algorithm for promotion. And again, even if you want to hate listen, that's amazing. Subscribe to the podcast. It means so much to us. In about 10 hours or whenever this segment finally fully downloads on YouTube, I'll have it out to the other podcast platforms too. So the Senators are coming up, Mike, and the Leafs are going to lose to them, but that's okay. They've won a bunch of games recently, and we're really, really excited. Guys, another reason to subscribe is because Mike and I are going to have a bunch of stuff coming in relation to moves we're anticipating before the trade deadline. So you're going to want to make sure you're apprised and you're kept up to date on what we're going to be doing, because there's a lot more combo to come. I'm telling you. For Mike, I'm Norm. We're up.